Michael the mentor.
Yes, sir.
Michael the mentor. Yes, sir.
Michael the princess. He's the only princess of the team.
Yeah, you know, Chancho's baby. What's up, guys? Welcome to the G30 podcast. This is Nels. This is Nels with Mike and Tim.
Yo, what's up,
everyone? Mike
too much. What's up? We're just talking about the results of the Mixer Cup on the Xbox League. We have a chip winner
Brought home the chip for Dem Shooters. Want to shout out the team. We had so many good guys on that squad. You had George, you had Luis, you had Julio, Eggy. Fucking everyone on that team was awesome. And even though it might be a little like FA Cup, little community shield, little title, I'm glad that we were able to win and bring home
two Mickey Mouse rings at Chancho's.
Two Mickey Mouse rings. Maybe we can bring back a real one. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but the Chancho's training camp is looking rather promising, don't you think? Copy, Tim? What do you think?
Yes, sir. Very promising and very competitive at the moment. Everyone wants a starting spot. Everyone's trying to fight for it. They got to earn it. I'm a whole different captain this season, bro. I will say that for sure.
I will say, Tim, I was telling Mike, I don't know if you heard, I was telling Tim he laid down the law a little bit this week, and I got shaken a little bit. I was like, yes, I'll work. I'll work for my starting spot, you know? And I think that's good for the team. It's the first time we've really been competitive in that way, I think.
Yeah, we had to wipe off the whiteboard and, you know, create some new plans.
Start fresh.
Exactly. Clean the house a little bit.
I like it. Well, congrats, Mike, on your Mickey Mouse chip.
Guys. I mean, fucking me and Eggy, best center backs in the league.
Yes, sir.
There you go.
Agreed.
There you go.
All right. Well, how are you feeling about the G's this week? There's been a – breaking news.
Yeah.
We got emailed about what the plan is for the season ticket member, like credit purchase for the home openers and the games coming this week. And if it's okay with you all, I would like to read a piece of this to you. So this is straight from the email from the rep. It says, we intend to make a limited number of tickets available for purchase by season ticket members to accommodate tier changes for LA. So they said, we cannot guarantee that you will receive an opportunity to buy tickets to any or all of the LA Galaxy games, nor can we guarantee that you will be able to use your actual seats. These games aren't under your season tickets agreement. However, you can use what you've paid towards your season ticket payments to purchase these games. So it's
like a credit.
It's like we have credit and it's not really season tickets, but because we are season ticket holders, we get the opportunity to buy games
through your payment.
Through our payments, right? But here's the thing. On April 1st, we will go on sale with a limited number of tickets for the home opener scheduled for April 25th. With limited capacity, we will have pre-sale opportunities for season ticket members in pre-sale groups, beginning with the premium members, so the people that sit in those nice seats in the middle and like in the boxes. And then working your way down based on how long you've had season tickets.
So like a seniority thing.
Right. So it's premium first and then based on how long you've had them. So someone like me, it's been a few years, followed the team forever, but I've only been a season ticket member for a couple of years. I might be towards the bottom. I don't know. That would suck.
Yeah.
I'm way towards the bottom.
So I don't know if like a lot of people would have to like opt out and say, I don't want to come. Other than that, it does seem like we might be in an even better tier by the home opener. So maybe there will be more people closer to 8,000, than 5,000. I don't know. It's fair, but what do you do about like, if you're in like ACB or Outlaws, like what do you do?
Dude, I have no idea how that works or how that's going to work for them. I mean, that's tough. I want them to be there. Maybe they'll play the sound effect. I don't know. But I know for sure the ACB members will be there.
They have to be.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? Like,
yeah.
I feel like it's bad that like we don't know.
We just genuinely don't have zero clue.
But you can't be like, I mean, Victoria Block can't be full. You know, they're still having social distance. So I don't know. That's what we found. That's the end of my Sports Center
like breaking
background
news.
Information.
For real.
I would like to talk about Victor Vasquez a little bit, the signing we made this week. What do you boys make of the signing? I have his stats up actually, and wow. I'm going. Yeah,
for sure.
I have his MLS stats because fuck what happened outside of the league. Other than the fact that he hasn't played for a while,
and he's like 34.
He's old, but I'm 34. Leave me alone. So that's like me. I'll play. So I'll just tell you that. Oh, let me pull that up. What do you guys think of Vasquez while I do that?
You want to talk to him? Or?
Yeah, I can talk. I like this signing, to be honest, because it's kind of like he's going to play like a question type of role. He's going to be like some sort of leader. And apparently, according to Greg Vanney, he's kind of like a midfield maestro, bro. He can kind of see the field from like he's like, well,
he can see the runs before they happen.
Yep, he's like a chess. He's playing the field like a chess game, kind of. You can see it two steps ahead before everybody. And I like that. I like that a lot. And if Greg Vanney trusts him, I could trust him too. I got a lot of trust in Greg Vanney right now, bro.
I sort of feel the same way when looking into the signing. I mean, I enjoy it. I mean, he's 34 years old, but I mean, as we've seen, I'm not comparing him to these types of players, but we still have players like have been deemed like midfield maestros, like Cesc Fabregas, who's like on his dying leg and still playing in Europe. And you have a lot of these players who, as they get older, they mature and play that role where they don't need to necessarily run as much, but they sort of hang back and let the game develop ahead of them. I feel that if he can do that for us, that would provide a lot of use to our front three, whoever's going forward for us this season. And if he can pick people out, then by all means. What I would want for him though is to not run as much and to limit his like stamina on the field. Like I don't want him dead by the 60th minute. Like I'd rather
limit his minutes. Well,
that's a perfect kind of segue here, right? So as you know, traditionally, historically, and this is weird, this is a weird year because everything's starting later. It is not, and this is like doing podcasts on a Thursday. It's like I'm listening to the other ones. I'm like, they took what I was gonna say, but I'll just say it anyway.
For sure.
So the Galaxy traditionally has not been shy in starting the season one way and then waiting to the summer transfer window to really bring somebody in, like difference makers, like Christian Willemsen, who was like a big difference maker in one of the title run years, I think 2012. He came in the summer and reinforced, right? So I could see a world where they were like, you know what? We don't know what's going to happen with Pavon. More on that later. Mike, I know you're excited to have some tweets for you. I can see them doing what I've been calling CAM by committee. So what do you think of potentially? Okay, so this is Vanny's locker room leader guy, right? Well, we already have a locker room leader in question.
We have two.
We have two. So do you see a world in where Vasquez and question split the minutes and we just hang on till summer, considering both of them have that line breaker pass thing where they can like pick the pass and send it. They don't necessarily have to run so much. What do you think about that?
I mean, I like that. If they can split the minutes until we get, you know, our starting center mid, because I feel like that's coming very soon with Victor Vasquez, because he's obviously not going to be the starting center mid. But I can definitely see a quality number six coming in, possibly during the summer.
That's a question too. So does he start over question?
That's all up to Greg Vanney, because you know Vanney has a lot of trust in, you know, Victor.
It's his dude.
But then we got Sasha that really played his ass off also last season too, when he was given minutes, and he was pretty much our captain. He was our captain last season, pretty much off the field. He said, you know, he kept it real with us last season. So it's going to be a tough decision on Greg Vanney.
Who he wants? They to would. when shit went wrong last year, they threw Sasha Kletchen out there to talk to everybody, and he did.
Yep.
So respect.
He's the people's man.
What do you think, Mike? Mike, let me ask you, who do you start, Vasquez or Kletchen?
Right now, Sasha Kletchen. I'm a big Sasha Kletchen advocate, but I wanted to mention more about the cam by committee thing, because in soccer, you don't necessarily see this as much, but in other sports, this is a very common thing. In football, American football, you have running back committees where you have three guys split touches all throughout the season, regardless if that's one running back or two running back, three running back, or three wide receivers, four wide receivers. You have these guys that split time, and it can either go one of two ways. It could be a very interesting 1-2 punch, or it could it could create it could create some sort of like pitting them against each other, you know? And granted, that's maybe what we want. Maybe we want them to compete against each other to get the best out of both of them.
It's two veterans though. That's what's crazy. Yes. Usually it's like the younger guy pushing the older guy, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So now you have two of these guys trying to cement their legacies, and it could either go the one of two ways where it benefits us and they're willing to split the time in minutes, or it could be like direct competition for the role and both of them start playing their ass off in the locker room and on the field.
Can I tell you what I'd do? Or actually finish up and then I'll tell you what I'd do.
No, yeah. I just want to say that I'd start Kletchen. Let Vasquez get acclimated a little bit.
If I were Victor Vasquez, I'd walk up to Kletchen the first day in there, shake his hand and be like, we're going to lead this team to a chip, dude. Let's do it.
I wonder if he is going to come in like that. If he does,
needs to come in and be like, I'm the coach's guy. Right. Yep. So let me his MLS stats here. In 2017, he played two seasons. In 2017, he played 31 games and he started 28 of them, and he had 8 goals and 16 assists. And I believe that year Toronto won the cup.
Mm-hmm. They did.
In 2018, the following year, he played 21 games. He had 19 starts, so he reduced load. Don't remember why. He had 8 goals and 9 assists. So realistically, we're talking a 10-10 guy if he still has it.
Yep.
I heard he played something like 13 minutes overseas.
Yeah, he played like 2 minutes. And he only has one postseason. Yeah, it's the 2017 postseason. He played 5 games all the way to the cup. He started all 5 of those. He had 2 goals and 1 assist. A bunch of shots, 8 shots.
Wow.
So he's active. He knows the league. But also, Beepo knew the league too, and we brought Beepo back. Different player, different position, different thing. But I don't know. It could work. It could not work.
But we came in for Beepo. We were hoping he would be the starter because we didn't have a consistent center back, only people. So that's a little bit different. But it could be different for Victor too. You never know. I'm hoping.
True.
I mean, the league's also very different too. You know, you have to consider that, you know, got a little bit extra miles on the legs, and now he's going to have to hit the ground running again.
Yeah,
MLS is picking up pace.
It is. It's always been physical, but now it's getting faster.
Faster.
And more physical.
Yeah.
So, Guessman, I think they were talking about on Monday, like what if he's the CDM, right? Like what if they plug him sitting back like a Busquets role? You know, the line breaking pass, I don't know, but I think this is a good time to talk about and kind of weigh what our lineup looks like. Now we haven't done it in a couple of weeks. I'm going to share my screen like a teacher right now. And
for sure.
Hold on, take a look here. And I want to get your first reaction to this picture I'm showing you here. Take a look. This is the lineup. They're looking at a picture. This is not good radio. We're looking at a picture that people can't see. But I want to get your reaction. Mike, what do you think of the lineup right now before I walk through it?
Yeah, let's get it.
I mean, it is what it is, dude. It's still kind of depressing. I mean, Grandeur, the inclusion of him out there on the right wing is nice. We are lacking depth on the left side of the pitch, with Korniak being on an island all by himself. If Dunbar would like to play the left, he could do that. But then that leaves 3 guys in rotation, and 2 of them have to play with only 1 resting. So, yeah. I mean, Midfield depth is nice.
Hold on, hold on. Before you go, let me just walk through it and tell the people. That way we're not talking about stuff. And then we'll go to Tim too. So up top, I have Chicharito. And I have made the decision to put Williams as his sub.
Backup.
I think in a perfect world, if everybody has their way, I think Williams takes Zubac's spot. That's just me. poor Zuby. Williams. Williams himself was breaking the score over the weekend about that Columbus Crew scrimmage 1-1.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He had the goal. So let's say Chicharito and Williams. All right. We have Kai Kerenic on the left because Pavone is undecided.
Yeah, no one else.
I don't know who else we'd put there. On the right, we have Granser backed up by Dunbar. In the middle, Kleshchen starting backed up by Vasquez. Legette next to him backed up by Efra. We can talk about that. And then sitting back, Dos Santos backed up by Harvey. Although you can argue maybe you put Dos Santos in the box to box and have Kleshchen or Vasquez sit deep and kind of sweep. And then on the back line, Viafania and Acosta, Williams and Depew, Pipo and Steris, Araujo and Fisher. That seems a lot better and a lot more stable than it has in a long ass time.
Yep.
And then
yeah, I was about to say the best part of this team looks like the back four.
And then the back, we have Bondi and Klinsmann. Tim, what do you think?
I like it. But, you know, we do need more depth on the left side. But I also saw that someone posted a picture of Legette and Chicha starting with the ball. And you can see in the front that Legette's on the right wing and Efra is on the left. And I thought that was pretty interesting if Greg Vanney was going to play Legette and Efra on the wing. I don't know. I can't really make a call how Efra plays on the wing because I haven't really seen it that much. But
he had that one breakout performance at the last year we had Ibra where he like whipped it in. Remember?
That's right.
He's a little slow, but he's been working to get more fit. I don't know. Mexico plays him in the middle, I think. I don't know. Mike, what do you think?
Like I said, I mean, there's the lack of depth on the wing, which is concerning to me because we have two pretty much youth players. You have two academy players and Dunbar and Kai. And then you have Grandiser who's going to have to adapt. So, I mean, I think the best part of this team looks like the back four, which is shocking. I like that we have Williams and Bond back there. They're going to be great. But what I'm hoping for this season is that the young guys like Augie and Efra and Harvey and all these guys that are going to be playing more of a behind the scenes like role player role pick up good skills and good mentoring from the guys that they have around them. And I don't know, I like it for what it is. I would like a new winger. I hope Chicha can do something.
I want to pick up what you said about the young guys. It might make or break the season.
And that's
scary.
A lot of it rides on them.
But these guys need to step up. This is like the Bruce thing where like he had his three guys and then everyone else was a role player, right? We have a lot of role players on this team or potential role players. I don't think Efra can afford a season where he's just kind of like, oh, whatever, right? Like we're running into like Freddie Adu territory where it's like, this guy's the next big thing. And then like, he doesn't do anything. I don't think he can afford to have a shitty season. It could be a situation where you push Legette out to the wing and then you have Kleshchen, Vasquez, and Dos Santos in the middle. I don't know.
I like that.
I mean, I'm open to that too.
They'd have to sit so deep.
They'd have no one to push the line, dude. It literally would be pass first and like that's it. Because those guys, granted, like they're still physical and they're still able to, you know, run for a little, but like you gotta have like your pacey, like I don't know, I'm a big believer that like when you line up any team you gotta have someone through the middle that plays quick and can break the lines just with their pace and not relying on like that killer pass, which we just don't have because that's not Efra. Every time I've watched Efra play, unfortunately, it's been slow, it's been lackluster. It feels like he drags his feet on the pitch, which I hope he doesn't bring this season. Cause there's also been shitty times where like I've watched Efra and I've been like, damn it. Or times where we're at like when we had went to that one Open Cup game and Efra scored that stupid ass goal and it was ridiculous, but
he had that line breaker to Chicha though, you know, at the end of the season, it depends on these kids, man. It depends on these kids.
He shows promise here and there. It's just not consistent. That's what it is with Ifra. Also, we had a little Bondi highlight tape. What did you guys think of that?
He's awesome.
I liked it. What did you see, Tim? And then we'll go.
I mean, it's what I expected from our shot stopper, aka our top goalkeeper, who's 6'5". That's what I expected. I'm just glad that it's being shown. Hopefully, it stays like that and like how it's on the field, because that dude fills up the goal.
Yeah. What did you like about what he showed in that little highlight clip on Insta?
It's a lot better than Bingham, that's for sure. He doesn't hit the ball into other players' feet and then they score. He's actually like catching it, putting it into putting people into positions of success where they can do something with the ball. So yes, we have a proper goalkeeper now. That's what I liked.
Yeah. I'm gonna go as far to say that being a Chelsea fan, you know, I watch a lot of Chelsea soccer as well. He reminds me a lot of Edu Mendy, where he's very quick to jump off his line and claim the ball and sort of command the 18, which a goalkeeper could do. Like, I don't think that's asking too much from a goalkeeper, but I could go on. I'm going to go on to say here on this podcast that by the end of this season, Bond could be one of the best keepers in the entire league.
Oh,
he's tall. He's quick off his line, and if he can bitch those back four around to play their role, which yep. he can do, well, I think he'd be one of the best keepers in the league.
And you have the nice championship connection to Williams.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's something we've been missing too. It's scary to look at this lineup and be like, the defense is kind of set. That's what we've been complaining about. It is what it is. I don't know. We'll see. I have some quotes here from Pardeep Khatri's reporting on MLS.com. Apparently, Vanny said in the presser that this is about Vasquez and Hernandez. I think for a player like Javier, who, again, one of his strengths is running and his movements and second and third runs to get himself open, a guy like Victor is going to recognize those runs and put the ball where he needs it. That's what we saw in that Ephra play, right? Yep. He also said they asked him about Pavone, and we'll talk about that in a second right now. Well, right now, I guess. They asked him about potentially re-signing Pavone. And Vanny said, I don't think that Granser necessarily means we've moved on from Christian. We are continuing to look to build the roster, whether that is with Christian or without Christian is still a little bit to be determined. Samuel was going to be added regardless of whether Christian was here or not. He is another piece. There's another wing that needs to be filled, and there might be one or two more.
Yep.
What do you want me to say? The same bullshit we've been hearing for the past fucking how many months now? Like 2 months? Same shit? Same story? Like, fuck, dude. It's either get him or go. Get him or go.
Yeah. They're waiting.
I can't even protect them this time, man. It's just a lot different. You literally can't.
Literally. Like, I should change my fucking Twitter at to Pavon Slander, because that's all I do on this podcast. Like, what... At this point in time, what do you want any Galaxy fan to say about Christian Pavon that hasn't already been said? Fuck him.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
It's still crazy that Vanny is still pushing for him.
I mean, he might.
It's such a gamble.
It's such a gamble. He's playing dice right now, man.
Yeah, he's like shooting dice.
Dice right now.
So he said, though, two or three more, man. I don't know. We don't know. All of, you know, these like, signings pop out of nowhere.
Yeah, I also saw another rumor reignite this week. It was about the guy from it's the Balich guy.
Balich. Oh, I did see that.
Yeah, I saw that reignite. He's linked to a bunch of clubs: Miami, DC, Columbus. Pretty much the entire MLS is after him. And honestly, I think he'd be fucking great. I think he'd be fantastic. He is so quick, and I took some time to look into him more as a player. I think if you have Grandiser and Balich running the wings, that's it. We don't even fucking need Pablo, dude. He probably costs less. And he's
probably younger. And you have a DP spot.
I wouldn't give it to him, though. I'd put him on Tam.
Okay.
Because he would take it.
We are near it. Wow. We hit our limit pretty quick. Timmy, you want to give us a little bit on this Alcala kid, though?
Yeah, KT Lane gave him his own story, and he was saying that he got a call, aka the Messi can that, from what I've seen float around on Discord, the Messi can, only because he's Mexican and that he is a left footer. Because apparently, when you have a left foot and you're, you know, a star, a young star, that you are, they proclaim you to be the next Messi. And apparently that he's perhaps possibly could be the future of the club. And he was talking about, like, you know, I don't want to be here and just stay on the academy squad. I want to work my way up to become, you know, a vital part of this club. And, you know, I'm kind of glad he said that, because from what I've seen, you know, he's a really good dribbler, and he was given high praise from some of his academy coaches as well. And I'm hoping that he will not, you know, strike out for us, because we've had a lot of our promising academy players strike out for us. And it's crazy, because when we let our promising stars go, they strive elsewhere. And it's like, it's a huge, crazy, disappointing, yet satisfying thing to see. Because I just hope he's another Araujo, or like another young player that did well for us. But I'm just hoping, because he was linked to go to Manchester United when he turns 18.
Man City.
That's a pretty... Oh, I said United, huh? My bad. Man City. But I'm hoping. I titled the segment A Young G, because, you know, he's super young. And yeah, that's all I got to say about that. I'm just hoping he can push up quick. He could be the youngest assist setter for us.
Yeah, I like that he said that he wants to be on the first team, and he's so young. Exactly. You know, he's
super young.
We need that. Mm-hmm. Culture's coming back.
Yes.
Mike, you want to take us out real quick on your corner? Like, we'll do your corner real quick, yeah. and then we'll see.
For sure. Let's do it.
Yeah. Mike, so this week, I don't know if you saw, and we're doing it again, third week in a row.
I think it's just fun. It's fun at this point. It's fun to talk shit about him.
We're talking about these fools across the town. Apparently, they're the people's club. Mike, have you heard this? We're the corporate club, and they're definitely
the fucking corporate club, right? Really? Really?
Have they seen their stadium?
Fucking really? I don't know. I mean, I've been to the fucking bank. Dog, it's a fucking brewery. There's pubs, not pubs, there's little fucking bars anywhere you go in the city. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it was a stupid
It's
ass.
Fucking frustrating, because it's like they're the people's club. They're in the heart of Los Angeles. Dude, fuck them. Fuck that place. You guys know my Twitter. I say it at the end of every episode. You can come talk to me there.
For real.
It's really ridiculous that they're feeding themselves this false narrative of that they're the all righteous, like, saviors of Los Angeles. But motherfucker, we've been here for fucking since 96, dog.
It's getting real ridiculous.
It's getting really fucking ridiculous. And I don't like to pay too much attention to them, but I don't know the tweet, like, word for word, but I read that shit and was genuinely, like...
It was such a horse shit tweet.
It was, like, not saying that we're not corporate to an extent, because, I mean, it's a fucking business at the end of the day, no matter
what. We're owned by AEG, let's not lie. We have a bunch of money, but they have 100 celebrity owners.
Yeah, including Will Ferrell, who also owns a little bit, like, has, like... ownership in Chelsea to like that much extent. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know what it's going to take for them to realize that, like, they're not all fucking like the be all end all of the league. Oh. But, like, dude, wait for their first shitter season and the bank will fucking light on fire.
Okay. I found the original tweet. Yeah. It has 16 quote tweets and one like.
read it. Yeah.
All right. For sure. All right. I got you. El Tráfico rivalry seems to be based on economic tensions. The Dark Angels, the fuck is that? See themselves as the people's club, i.e. I don't know what i.e. stands for. Blue collar vatos locos, while Galaxy is the club of the white / Hispanic suburban upper middle class FC Hollywood. What the hell is that? Are you kidding me? And you know what? I could not back away from this one, Count. I had to say something.
I felt the rumbling, and I was like, it's Tim's Twitter fingers. Here we go.
God, I got so triggered. I was like, first of all, no one calls them the Dark Angels.
Yeah, I don't know who the fuck. He thought that was appropriate to deem yourself the Dark Angels. That's so lame. And now we're fucking playing World of Warcraft or some dumb shit like that. That's, I guess, what they want to do.
And then he ends it with
ridiculous.
I.e. blue collar vatos.
Yeah, example. Like, those are the people who like back the club. Dude, are you serious? I'm a fucking broke college student. I haven't bought a fucking tech green yet. You're talking about economic tensions. It's ridiculous.
He's obviously never been to the Dignity, bro.
Yeah, obviously. Not saying that we're down bad, because we're not down bad. But
that place is like home. It's small. It's not, you know, the biggest stadium. It's not like the bank where it's freaking corporate sponsorships freaking everywhere.
There is no economic tension.
And they're by USC, which is like a pretty shitty area, if you ask me.
Oh, no disrespect, though, to anybody.
No. I'm talking, because I seen it on Twitter, too. It's don't get me wrong, people around there, they're dope, but it's not the best area to be around. It's pretty sketch, I will say that. But.
And they are gentrifying it. And that's the other thing, right?
They put the stadium right there, and then it's like, oh, shit.
And it's pushing all the cool people out. It's sad to see. But I'm sorry, that I didn't mean to say that earlier, bro. That tweet just really pissed me off.
It's all good. It's all good. It is. It's like
the only apology I'll be saying.
It's like, take a look around, right? Take a look around.
Yeah.
All right. Mike, where you at? Tell them.
All right, guys. Yeah, you can come check me out on Twitter at DestroyersTFC. If you ever want to talk shit about soccer, you know where to find me. And if you've listened this far, come check us out on Twitter and Instagram at the G30 Podcast. That is the G30 Podcast. And that'll be it for me today, guys.
For sure. I'm Timmy. You can find me at SpicyTaco118 on Twitter, SpicyTaco18 at Instagram. You can find us. And keep up with our content at G30 on Twitter. And we also have an Instagram page at G30 Podcast.
Dope. And I'm Nels, CountChot786 on Twitter. And we will catch you next time. It got spicy.
Towards the end.
Later, guys.
Peace.